This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, in for Tanzina Vega, and I have a confession. I have more than 100 rolls of toilet paper in my basement, all neatly organized on shelves.
My God.
Now, I'm not proud of the hoarding, but I still just ain't over the great toilet paper panic of 2020. And these days, it's actually pretty easy to find toilet tissue, especially at my house. But you might have a serious problem trying to get a new pair of Air Force Ones. And to understand why, The Takeaway called an expert.
My name is Robert Hanfield, and I'm a professor of supply chain management at North Carolina State University.
He helped us to think about the truly global nature of daily purchases.
More and more of these supply chains have their origins in places like China and Vietnam and Hong Kong and India.
So remember the devastating PPE shortages of the early pandemic? Supply chain.
Because China was dealing with their own COVID crisis over there, they were actually halting the exports of goods from China to the rest of the world. They were stopping those shipments at the border.
And today, the U.S. is not facing a shortage of face masks and plastic gloves, but a consumer supply chain crisis continues. A crisis rooted in the pronounced differences in global COVID infections and access to COVID vaccines.
So, for instance, Nike is having shortages of their running shoes because of the COVID outbreaks in the Vietnam factories. And that's impacting not just Nike, but Adidas and everybody else as well. And by the way, the Delta variant is responsible for shutting down a lot of these factories overseas. They shut down a large port in China. They shut down apparel plants in Vietnam and in Korea.
So the pandemic is not over. And chances are, if you look at the label of your favorite T-shirt or pair of sneakers, you'll find it says, made in a nation whose COVID cases are surging. Here to discuss how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the global supply chain is Tanya Garcia, news editor and consumer retail reporter for MarketWatch. Thanks for being here, Tanya.
Thank you.
So demand is still high, even though we're in a pandemic. How have retailers had to change the supply chain in order to try to meet that demand?
Well, there's some built-in flexibility to a lot of supply chains. It started where there was some changing on where they were going to get their goods. So trying to diversify, whether it comes from China, whether it comes from Vietnam, whether it comes from Bangladesh, trying to add a little bit of diversity to, you know, kind of take the dependency off of one particular place. Now there's really, you know, not a whole lot that they can do. You know, they just try to source from as many places as possible and hope that those sources will come through in the end. So really, we just kind of have to get used to shortages here and there. Where we're going to find them.
Even before the pandemic, there were companies that were trying to do what you're talking about, you know, sort of make their supply chain a little more diversified. Why was this a problem even before the pandemic?
So the problem pre-pandemic was actually tariffs. There was a lot of dependency on China, and there was the whole tariff war going on for some time, and companies were bracing for an increase in price. So to try and keep prices on the lower end of the spectrum, that's where the diversity was coming in terms of sourcing. Then there are, you know, issues that we're facing now with things like, you know, the ports and finding enough truck drivers to physically get things from point A to point B. Some of those things are, you know, where companies and retailers, they can try to build in some flexibility and have tried, but there's only so much you can do when there's a global pandemic happening.
So let's talk about not just consumer goods, but food. What kind of impact is COVID-19 continuing to have on the food supply chain?
First, you have the literal like picking and packing of food, factories and production facilities. Those areas, they're better now. We had the issues early on in the pandemic where there was, you know, illness sweeping through these factories and it was causing an issue. So you always have to be kind of mindful that if there's a resurgence, there could be a resurgence at these facilities as well. But separately, the food supply chain is separated so that there's food that goes to the grocery store and then food that's meant to go to event spaces, stadiums, restaurants. When all of that was shut down, the supply chain had to transition so that that food was going to the grocery store as well, because everybody was eating at home and cooking at home. So now you're going to see perhaps some unwinding of that.
Right. That was in part like the toilet paper story, right? Was that, I mean, part of the reason I have 100 rolls downstairs in my basement is because it's not like fluffy Cottonelle Charmin kind of thing. It's like that toilet paper that you can get, you know, kind of industrial sized, you know, because we had a small business that we were able to order it from, right? So it wasn't that there wasn't toilet paper. It was that it wasn't going to the like home market.
Exactly. So there's a lot of folks who may have noticed when they went to the grocery store at some point over the past, say, year and a half, that some item that they really wanted wasn't there. There's never been an issue of a shortage of food or a shortage of goods. It's just a matter of where it was being placed. And that has to do with the supply chain. The supply chain dictates where items go. And so now that everything is, you know, on the road to recovery, or we're tiptoeing back into, you know, regular life, some of that has to kind of revert back so that it goes to the places that we're used to seeing it pre-COVID.
Is there an ethics to consumption now relative to the pandemic? If I know that eating meat will mean that there are workers working in close proximity in meat packing, you know, situations where COVID is happening, or if I'm buying goods from countries where COVID numbers are surging, is it unethical to make those purchases, or should I be making them in order to bring resources to those communities? Like, how do we make ethical choices at this moment?
You know, I think that the past year and a half has brought a lot of issues to light about the way that we live. And supply chain and how we treat workers has definitely been one of those things that has, I think, impacted some consumers. Over the past year, we've seen, combined with COVID, issues with climate change that have come up. And that's also impacting the types of choices that people are making. And when you're making these kinds of choices under the pressure of a supply chain that's being stretched thin, you might find yourself thinking, well, do I need to eat this? Do I need to buy this? What sort of habits did people develop over the past year? And which ones are going to be sticky, as they say? Which ones are going to stick around, you know, once things eventually do get back to normal? And what's going to revert back to, you know, the pre-COVID consumption habit?
Listen, I have a 7-year-old. She was actually asking philosophical questions about the age of Santa Claus the other day. Even though it's July, can you help us parents out and tell us how this might affect the holiday supply chain?
So, toys, unfortunately, for your daughter, toys are might be an issue this year. So the supply chain is also really time sensitive for a lot of categories. And so while we may not be thinking of Christmas in July, a lot of companies already are under normal circumstances. And so with the supply chain still having its issues and challenges, we're already seeing from analysts that toys could be an issue come the holiday season. The timeline has been thrown off by the pandemic, and I'm sure that there is a big scramble happening to keep those challenges and those disruptions to a minimum.
Tanya Garcia, news editor and consumer retail reporter at MarketWatch, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.